I like the
Ladies
countdown.
And gentlemen, welcome to Giant Conversations, episode number 31 and our KubeCon special.
Yes.
And this time with Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, Oliver. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Good. And we have Joe here.
Hello. I'm here.
And Heather, whom I should have mentioned first, like ladies first, but I went in circle around my screen. And sorry, Heather. So it's hi, okay. Heather.
Forgiven. Hello.
Oh, thank you. Very nice of you. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to having a KubeCon special because all of us are seeing, well, not Tommy. Tommy is not going to KubeCon, but no. The rest of us will see each other on Monday in London.
To start us off, Ollie, remember last year when we were messing around with what Songkick, I think it is, and you made the KubeCon in the house AI song?
Oh, do we still have that?
Hope not. Keep back. Get ready to learn, get ready to shout. Yeah. We gather around the globe, techies unite. From San Diego to Amsterdam, we take the flight. Talking containers, Kubernetes and cloud native. Innovative minds, let's collaborate. Let's go. KubeCon in the house, yeah, we're taking it high. Welcome to the stage where the future's alive. Learning, connecting and pushing boundaries. KubeCon in the house. It's got that fun, like 90s. Nope. Oh, we're starting again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think it's enough, Tommy.
Yeah, fine. I just wanted to hear the whole thing. So, yeah, Cubican.
It's got Cubican. That fun 90s rap thing where it's like, yeah, learning's cool. And, like, yeah. It hasn't got that influence of gangster rap yet, somehow. Yeah.
So Joe, okay, so we're talking London today, and that's why we have Joe and Heather on. Joe is a native of London. He's got a fun story about that. Anytime somebody says, actually, where are you from? He just has to keep repeating London, because apparently nobody is actually from London.
I told
London.
You this before.
No, I made that up.
Oh, I actually have a story like this.
And Heather, on the other hand, is the opposite. Heather is originally from South Africa, went to Berlin, and Heather, now you're in London.
Yes. So I'm the typical kind of implant who then falls like furiously in love with the city to the point where I feel very defensive over any haters. So I'm already prepared to entertain and kind of like have things for our esteemed colleagues, because I don't want to hear any back talk. I don't want any critique.
Are you going to? Are you going to sneak into KubeCon?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Fine.
In no way.
No way, CNCF. I will not be illegally entering the conference. I respect the rules. I will be participating in karaoke. I'm looking for a duet partner. This is a serious request. I want to do Tony Braxton's He Isn't Man Enough for Me. I think that's it. I think that'll go down a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so send me the song. I'll practice on the flight.
Oh, dear.
No, the thing is, you're not... If you're good at karaoke, then you're bad at karaoke.
Yeah, but at least need to know the song. I'm particularly bad at like singing.
I mean, I Excellent. Think the song is He Wasn't Man Enough, so Heather doesn't know the song either.
I need one drink to reactivate my memory of the song.
I like how Heather's sort of gone on the KubeCon podcast. I won't go to any KubeCon. I will go to the party.
Mm-hmm. And we will be covering that stuff today. So in our episode today, we're talking, I'm going to say all things London, but many things London and many things KubeCon. And we're starting off with, first off, let's do the marketing stuff. I'd like to do that.
Okay, you do the marketing stuff. I drink my coffee. Okay.
So
we
will be.
I want a voice now. I want like the serious Tommy voice.
I'll do a British voice.
And then I'll do an American voice, and it'll just get really offensive.
Yeah, exactly. We are so we're bringing the team to KubeCon in London. We are at booth N450. Of course, KubeCon, as many of you would know, is the 1st through 4th of April. So that is next week. And we have a lineup of some speakers as well. We have Marco Ebert is talking about Gateway with Ingress, 140 days in Gate. And then both Joe, our member today, as well as his, his fellow Englander.
The love of my life, that's what I would say.
Are both giving talks at Rejects. Joe is talking about the Cluster API migration retrospective, and Marcus is talking about the deep dive of pods and everything you didn't know you needed to know. I can see that Dominic also has a platform engineering day talk, a platform as a product, first insights from CNCF platform working groups, ongoing research. So we are representing. We hope to see you at booth N450. Stop by, get a shirt, high five, tell Joe you heard his podcast, and ask he and Marcus to kiss.
Yes, please.
If anyone comes up to me and says, I heard this on the podcast and now you and Marcus have to kiss, sure, let's do it.
Oh, dear.
That's a good point. If they can mention that at minute 6 of the podcast, it was meant...
1 year free giant swarm.
Okay.
My part was a joke.
That escalated.
You just need to pay attention about your jokes.
I guess.
Jesus. Actually, you should have said snog, technically. Ah. That would have been more appropriate. Yeah.
Love it.
What?
Snog is British slang for kissing.
Oh.
Have a snog. I saw her and Dave around the back of the pub having a snog.
Having a snog.
I did a lot of snogging yesterday at the party. Snogging doesn't exist.
No, you can use snogging. That works. That was
even weirder, I think.
It's not great. It's very EastEnders.
I love it.
EastEnders.
Mm.
I just remember Neighbours. That was the...
Well, Neighbours would be Australian. So it's basically London, but Clapham.
Okay. God, I'm old. Anyway.
I think Neighbours only just finished, didn't it? Heather, you...
Still ran?
I think you know this. No?
No, I don't like Australian TV.
Wow. I'm currently watching Australian TV. It's great. They're all Australian.
Let's move on. Australian TV, fine. Just to clarify.
Based on accents, I would rather watch like Scottish people. Because we have this one guy in Vodafone that is Scottish.
I think reality TV shows how awful the British people are. Like Married at First Sight, I won't watch the UK one because it's full of UK people, but I'll watch the Australian one because it's full of Australian people. You know, clear understanding of the Commonwealth based on
perfect sense.
TV. Yeah,
full understanding. So.
We
wanted to talk about London and KubeCon.
Yeah,
we still have some talks to talk about if we want to at the end. But from my understanding, the most important item you need is City Mapper on your iPhone. City Mapper for all those that are searching, which gives you like where to go from where on the tube. That seems to be the important one. And it's the Elizabeth line until I don't know what is the line you want to take from Heathrow to... the general vicinity of the conference. Right? Right.
Sure. If you're landing at Heathrow, it's Elizabeth line goes east to west across the city, right? It's the purple one. You know, it's like a proper train, and that'll take you pretty much anywhere, like east to west. Mm-hmm. Gatwick, you want the Gatwick Express. Luton or Stansted, you're dead. You're in the cold. and if you fly into City, you're basically there. But then once you get sort of into East London, that's when the DLR, the Docklands Light Railway, that takes over. And that's when you want, I think it's Custom House for the Excel Center.
Mm-hmm.
But the DLR is confusing and people will get lost on it.
Yeah, exactly. I did do a quick look how much a helicopter from Heathrow to City costs. But it seems that the landing and takeoff costs at Heathrow are particularly high, so they don't, yeah.
Did you get a price?
No, I sadly didn't.
Okay.
But
it's probably one of those things you don't really get a price on, you know?
No.
It's
like, the thing is, if it would have been £200 and we'd be like, I don't know, 6 giant swarm people and would fit
it's
in.
It's a fun trip, yeah.
I would say, okay, that's tourism, check.
We tried to get a chopper from Valencia to Mallorca once, but we only had an hour before our ferry went, and you can't do it in an hour because I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
So we keep failing as a company to book choppers.
That's what's holding us back.
Yeah, people need to know we ball. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think getting around, I mean, I boycott CityMapper because I applied there when I was like 19 and didn't get a job. Mm. But I've heard that's pretty good. The tube
is there an alternative we can use?
Just maps. Google Maps, come on. Also, it's so intuitive. I feel like the risk of getting lost in terms of cities is extremely low for London. It's just so straightforward.
Yeah, but there's probably also like, I think it's more manners on the tube. That's where people get caught out, right? Like the door open thing doesn't work.
Right.
Right. So people will press it, doesn't do anything. Right. Or like let people get off first. That's.
The button doesn't work?
Yeah. On the tube, there's a button that says door open. Doesn't do anything. No, I don't think it's ever done anything.
So I don't need to press. It'll just open when I'm at the station.
If you press it, that's when people know you're not. See?
Yeah, and if you eat dry pasta, that's when people know you're a local, because that's what I see.
Sorry, what?
So, because we are lucky to have weekdays off. So on a Wednesday when I'm having my P32, I'll often go into the city, and then there'll be like always one guy who's just like eating dry penne. Okay.
So he's the local.
He's the local. Like, he's not pressing the button.
He's not pressing the button, so he must be the local.
Oh, okay, yes. If you're mad and in London, you probably live there. That's true. There's a guy who lives near me. He's just always wearing headphones, and I don't know where he lives. He's definitely local.
Does he eat dry pasta?
He doesn't eat dry pasta. Well, no.
You don't know, man.
He just shouts at random people. Yeah.
I'll send you the photo if on the Elizabeth line I'll see people eating dry pasta that they just got at Heathrow.
Pasta watch.
I'll get a bit of dry pasta for the train so I look like a local.
Yeah.
Well, the real question is if you're like chomping down on a lasagna sheet, or is it like a bit of penne, like a snack? Or,
that
or you
feels
know, do,
a bit
is
dangerous.
It like a sort of like
is
a cigarette?
Is it dry, like crispy penne? Like...
Or like a spaghetti? Yeah.
His digestive system has adapted to the texture.
What are some other ways to get around? Sorry to pull us away from the actual fun parts of the conversation.
I mean, I would really recommend sticking with the tube.
Okay.
Right? Yes, sure. You can get buses. I think it's always just going to be a bit more fun. Big F if you get a bus. And I think most people are going to be sticking around the Excel Center and Canary Wharf and stuff like this. Like, that's all DLR. I don't know any buses there. Like, use the DLR. And yeah, if you're going into it out of the airports and not Heathrow, it's their expresses, right? They've all got one and it's like a special train. Uber is also very reasonable.
Sure.
Right. I you know, if it's late or I'm going somewhere awkward, grab an Uber. Yeah.
Is the Uber comparable price to taxi? Like in Germany, they're pretty much regulated, so they must be the same. But in the US and other places, Uber is able to undercut.
Yeah, like a black cab is outrageously expensive.
I think they're not as bad as they used to. Because I think they realized that they were going to go extinct.
Okay. Right.
But I think if in East London, I don't know how many black cabs you'll like the classic, you know.
Yeah, it's more likely
British
to be
black
a hearse.
So much, yeah. Addison Lee. Yeah, I think realistically, in out east, you're going to see less black cabs. That's probably more central. But I don't think they're unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know? Bolt is usually cheaper.
Yes. I mean, there's also other non-Uber ones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Are there scooters for Uber? But scooters probably like, at least our boat is like right next to the conference center, nothing needed.
There are the Lime bikes. They're pretty good. They're like Uber via
Super.
The app.
The only thing I don't have, I have everything else. But
oh, no, Ollie, it's available via the Uber app. That's why it's good.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
yeah, you can just unlock it via Uber. And okay, I've heard that if you're a kid, there's a way to like get it going, you know? But you can pay for them.
There is to like... Faster?
Essentially to steal it, yes.
Okay, no. I thought it's about... I'm still looking for that. I remember I had a Segway tour once, and if you like... I think you press the whatever speed button three times quickly, whatever, then it goes out of crawl mode and goes
faster. Goes into speed Segway mode.
I'm still trying on the...
No, I mean, they're pretty quick, right? Like, they're e-bikes and, yeah. I mean, yeah, Ollie, they're not going to be your speed demon levels or requirement, but it's a bicycle.
Exactly. Okay, that's cool. So that's how we get around. Most of the parties are actually in and around the conference thing, right? Because we're not in the city, right? Well, we're in the city, like, it's...
It depends who you ask, right? But no, it's more Canary Wharf, Isle of Dogs, Excel Center, Custom House kind of way, isn't it? Yeah. Which I wouldn't say is the city, but in a way is the city.
What parties do y'all plan on going to? What have you signed up for so far? All of them?
Oliver.
I was told to all of them.
Yeah.
So obviously, yes, the trick is all of them. My plan is, I quite like the Isovalent party. That's on Tuesday. That's my number one there. I do understand that there's an idea of a giant swarm drum and bass mission, but I probably won't go to that. Wednesday is the main party, like the cube crawl. And then Thursday, I was thinking the cube clash. Those are my three evening events planned.
I have at the moment, I mean, we have team dinner on Tuesday, and then I have the House of Cube London.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Cuberoki Spring Party on Wednesday. CubeCon London drinks on the docks on Thursday.
I'm reluctant to say it. And I saw Joe pull a face, so I don't know what the correct...
I mean, Heather's going to Cuberoki. I'm just not a big karaoke fan. I love the vibes. I love what they're doing. I will probably just go to bed.
Okay, that's not an option. So
yeah. Well, how do you choose which party do you go to? You say, okay, I love Isovalent, they're great, or Sivo's awesome, or is it location?
It's entirely based on how much money I think we can make for the company based on which fine.
Boo.
No.
But I think, like, from my remembering conferences, is whatever happens, happens. Like, that's why you probably register to a few and they're all not as full as they're planned to be. And you can probably even get in, even if you, like, if you're with three people having a ticket and you don't, then you probably still get in.
I just say I'm Puya. He signs up to everything. It always works.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking.
Yeah, and then you have a friend.
Because Puya has friends and Joe doesn't. I think it's what Oliver was trying to say.
Are you
there.
Puya? Yeah.
Okay. On the side of going out, this was, I think, where we were able to fill in our show notes the absolute best. So thank you. I'm very interested in some of the restaurants. So it looks like we're skipping a little bit here. We can go back to the more nerdy bit of things to do in London, but I'd like to skip to the food guide. Heather, is this called the Dish Room Paradox? That's what's written down in the show notes. I looked it up and I was like, is this like a punk band or something?
Heather Clancy, professional writer.
So Dish Room, I created a paradox when I tried to vet my concept with my partner. He was like, I don't think that's a paradox, but I'm maintaining this. So the Dish Room paradox, I believe, and Tommy, it makes sense that you don't know it. What happens is that anytime someone is coming to London, they're like, give me restaurant recommendations to people they know. And people who have been to London for 2 days, they also did that at one point, and everyone just tells everyone Dish Room. And so the recommendation is based on, like, you went to three restaurants in your 2 day trip,
yeah,
and one of them was Dish Room, and you queued for it because you have to queue for it. So it kind of stands out, and you think, this is great. I'll tell people about it.
Right.
And it is good. It is good. But it's kind of the like Bitcoin of biryani. Let me say it that way.
It insists upon itself. Yeah.
It insists upon itself. Thank you. And it's London. There's like a million good Indian restaurants, you know? which I added, cricket, for example, is in Canary Wharf. That's mm-hmm. banging.
Okay. So cricket is also a restaurant.
Indeed.
Okay. But I see there are like, there is a Dishoom in Canary Wharf.
I mean, that's where we're going for our team dinner. Yeah. Okay.
Really?
Proving everybody right. Okay. But what are the, what on the website you have our cafes and the permit rooms. What are permit rooms? Anybody have an idea? Looks like a restaurant. Is it like invitation only?
Permit rooms.
I'm not sure about just that. Looks like a normal restaurant, but like I never heard the term.
Which restaurant are you talking about?
If you go to Dishoom and go to the menu at the top, go to cafes, you have our cafes. There are 10. And then under it, it says permit rooms.
I've not been to the Dishoom permit room.
Sounds now awfully exclusive.
Now cancel my paradox.
Interest. Oh, wait, it says permit rooms at the bottom, does it?
Uh-huh. And then, okay, we've got
to... Salute to the permit rooms of Bombay. Bombay, uh-huh. Not Bombay.
Bombay. Half Mumbai, half Bombay.
All day bar cafe, delicious breakfast. Okay, like a restaurant.
It's a restaurant. Yeah. It's a nice restaurant, but I agree with Heather. It for some reason, Dishoom keeps coming up, and it really dominates.
Okay, I also just want to restate, because I did this line for Oliver and he didn't react. It's the Bitcoin of biryani, okay?
Okay.
Like, that's for you. I planted that in for you.
that's a canned line.
I was like, I need to get some laughs.
Yeah. Now you do.
I don't know who signs the check.
We're all laughing now about me not having a clue and not paying attention.
So, yeah, exactly.
The Bitcoin.
No, because now I had to deliver and I was like, you know, that's when words completely fail. So
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. What else we got? So the Dishoom. I'm not going to do it. I've got so many. It's the aluminum of the English language.
Blacklock. Yeah. Blacklock looks nice.
Me and Heather had a pre-discussion about Blacklock.
Joe has a lot to say.
So Blacklock, great restaurant. Great restaurant.
Good.
Would recommend.
Very good that we made sure that Joe changes his chair and all he does now is go climper climper with his bottle.
Joe, you are going to drive yourself fucking crazy with that stupid bottle when you're listening to this podcast. Look at my face.
Tommy, I don't listen to the podcasts I'm in, right? I listen to every other episode. If I'm in it, I can't listen to it.
Yeah, I hear that.
I'm sorry that I create noise. Fine. No, Blacklock. Blacklock is a good restaurant. I would recommend. There's one in Soho, I guess. I don't know if there's one in Canary. I think there is one somewhere in Canary Wharf. Yes. Oh, there's one closer to where it is.
Yeah.
I think the quality of food is very high. I think the value, the affordability is there. The two things that drive me insane, mismatched crockery, right? Like every plate is different. Okay. And it's a good dining experience that just very slightly feels like you're eating at your mate's place when he was a student. Right, and that really annoys me because the food is really good.
So the plates aren't matched to the food, but it's just
different. They're just plates. Like, it's like they've just stolen one plate from every house in the United Kingdom. And it's fun and it's quirky and it's cozy, but it just irritates.
It's slightly autistic development types of trying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going there and going like, well, these aren't the same, then it's going to drive you insane. I can't say this without laughing. I have a slight issue with the cheesecake on their menu. Wow. Me and Heather went to lunch at Blacklock. We're having a nice time, and then if you've had a nice steak, you want a little sweet treat at the end, right? You deserve it, right? You've had the savory, you need something a little sweet. The cheesecake there is like £7.75, and you're like, what? It's going to be like a nice little yeah. They come by with like a school dinner tray of this cheesecake, and it's absolute. They'll just as much as you want. This absolute slop cheesecake thing that is realistically just biscuits and cream. It's so it just, you're having a nice dinner and then they go and it's awful.
But it also tastes awful, or it's just you wanted a cake form.
No, it doesn't taste bad. It's just...
It's very much back to what Joe was saying. No, it's like what Joe was saying, where it's kind of like your mate's house and the cheesecake is like your friend's kind of going through a baking phase and, you know, you want to be complimentary. However, the disgust on Joe's face when they brought out that tray made me think that perhaps he was actually like an aristocrat. It was pure terror.
It's just because the level of quality is like the food is really good, and then you have this plate, and then the food is really good, and then you have the cheesecake.
But it can also be like stylish. I was just told of a place where, like, if you want dessert, they come by your table and put like a sheet of aluminium foil on your table, and then just put ice cream.
Sure. And then it's like an experience. It's not enough of a coherent experience to say it's like a hipster thing or something like that. It just sometimes you're just like, there's this sort of weird mismatch in the experience. Then you get the slop cheese. It's weird. But would recommend. Said,
we've
great
been three
meat.
Times.
I've been a million times. No,
so
love it.
Can't be that bad. I
love
I have
the
to
restaurant.
Say something because you said it's a lot of cake. I have to give the anecdote of my middle son, because we will have dinner or something, and then he can't finish his plate, but he still wants dessert.
Mm.
And he explained that very well. He has two stomachs. He has the dinner stomach, and he has the sweets stomach, and they're separate. So the dinner stomach
is
now full, and the sweet stomach still has space. But now comes the interesting part. The sweet stomach is below the dinner stomach, which means that whenever you go in the bathroom, the sweet stomach is empty first. So you really thought this through.
Wow. It's organizational as well. There's a topology.
Exactly. And then we have gaucho.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I love, that's like my bougie steakhouse recommendation, which is in Canary Wharf. My partner and I, we go every Christmas. You get a little bit smashed, eat some like a platter of steak, you feel a little bit fancy. It's a bit too bright because it's kind of like a date night spot where I think people regularly take Instagrams, you know. Okay, I sounded like 100 years old.
Instagrams, the Snapchats.
But you know, yeah. You know the kids. But the food is really good and the service is kind of like swish.
Nice. And what I just...
Good cocktails.
Okay, that's different. We have an El Gaucho in Cologne, but it's different.
It's Mexican, isn't it?
It's Mexican.
100% certain that's a different company. But
there is a Gaucho in Canary Wharf. It also looks really nice. Cool. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We got a couple more. So I did see the Bermondsey. Is that how you'd say it? Bermondsey.
Bermondsey.
The Bermondsey Beer Mile. Mm. Oof.
Yeah, so when I was doing this, ChatGPT said this was very cool and indie of me to suggest. So it's not too far from the venue, I would say. London Bridge, right, Joe? It's like, okay. And then you get to walk over the bridge, and then there's like a strip of bars and restaurants and... Whether they'll be open all during the week, undecided. However, like I went to this 40 Maltby that I listed, which is at the beginning kind of the Bermondsey Mile kind of thing. And it's so good. You cannot book. So get there as it opens if you wish to spend too much money on small plates.
So it's more on the tapas side.
But I think there are 15 different ones. I mean, it's really a street of pubs.
Yes, for the beer mile.
Or the rest of London.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, the small plates thing, I don't know if it's hit Cologne as intensely, but I think restaurants figured that, you know, starter, main course, dessert, great, but there's a cap. However, small plates, you can recommend about 9 plates to a couple. And each plate is like a little fussy thing. And it's good.
And
you're happy about it. Right. And it costs £20. So, yeah.
That's cool, though. I mean, that's if you want to go out and, yeah, get a steak. But if you can get a steak and some octopus and some bacon wrapped figs and that kind of thing, then you can kind of go for it. I like that.
Yeah. And I love the point that the website we're linking, the Bermondsey Beer Mile, is built by Spank the Monkey and the Belated Birthday Girl. I need a new nickname.
Shout out to them. Sponsors of the show.
Greatest trust ever, Spank the Monkey.
All right, we got one more. We have the 40 Maltby Street. I'm sure I'm saying that one wrong too.
Yeah, that's the small place. Maltby.
That's the same place, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that's where it is.
That's the first place on the list.
Gotcha. Cool. So those are the places to eat. Any others just kind of off the cuff that you can say, oh, you got to check this place out? Do you have a Scottish place? I think they're global. McDonald's, I think it's called. Do you guys have that?
Mackey D's. Yeah, we do have one or two.
Maybe
I've heard. I think the quality of food in general is going to be. I think you'd have to really screw around to find like a bad meal.
Unless you're eating at the conference.
Obviously, yes. Oh. Please step outside the Excel Center. The quality food is not representative of the rest of London. But I mean, I think most pubs are going to do something good, or if it looks like a nice place, it's probably going to be okay. Yeah.
For those who are in London, but then decide, all right, you know, I need to get a step out. Get some fresh air. I don't know. Is that a thing in London, or do you guys have London fog? Does it have anything to do with?
I mean, we do pretty well with air quality nowadays.
Love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a handful of places that we went in and picked out. That I don't know if y'all took a look. I couldn't help it. This novelty automation museum, kind of thought that was fun for people who, like myself, who enjoy automation, not the same kind of automation as y'all do. But it's like the Simona Geertz, the Finnish, I think she's Finnish, inventor. And that looks like a lot of fun. I don't know if it's close to where the conference center is. I know F all about y'all's tiny little town, but I can tell you it looks like a lot of fun. That looks
nice. But I have to say, I'm all for having a trip to an arcade center.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I look it up every city we go to. That's one of the first things I look up if it's no matter where, unless it's like my hometown in Jacksonville. I know where that is. But yeah, going to arcades is always a lot of fun. You can play some old school Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You've got The Who by Tommy. Or no, the Tommy by The Who. It's British, isn't it? Pinball? Yeah. No.
I know the band. I don't know if they're British or not. There's an age gap here. Sorry, Tommy.
Yeah, well, I'm the editor and this is gone.
Anything that makes me look even remotely silly, cutting room floor.
Done. So what else we got? What are some of the places that y'all have taken a look at that you'd like to share?
I did Horizon 22 because I feel like I'm slowly building evidence that they should pay me. I feel like I recommend it to everyone. Because it's basically the not busy free version of Sky Garden.
Oh, cool.
Sky Garden's free though. Oh.
Okay, Sky Garden's free, but you have to queue even if you have a ticket.
I didn't queue when I went. That's the trick. But it's so Horizon 22 is not the walkie-talkie, is it? It's where is that?
No, it's higher, actually. It's kind of
it's that new one in
Liverpool Street Station.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's just, they have a cafe.
There's a bar on top. You can drink something. You can look all over London.
You can see the Shard from there.
People like, they're cool. Picnics.
Like it's cool. Yeah.
People take picnics there?
Yeah, they're super corny and like I'm jealous.
Horizon 22. That's cool.
Natural History Museum?
Yeah, most of the stuff I put here is more nerdy than sure. Like my boyfriend took me to this cool place with a view and a picnic. I think the museums in general shouted out Natural History Museum, Natural History Museum, the Science Museum, the Victoria and Albert, like they're all free to get into. They're all within 5 minutes of each other. South Kensington is very nice and has a great creperie.
So the for the museums, you just tend, like from where we are, you take one or two.
You get on the tubes.
I'm not supposed to say metro.
I don't say metro. It's South Ken. There's clear signs to the museums, and you can easily spend an afternoon there. They're all free, very straightforward. I also put the London Transport Museum if you're more into trains.
Cool,
that's great. Like it's just because I understand the underground is the oldest underground. I think that's right. No one here can fact check me. Ollie's quickly googling.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have tons of old stuff about like Transport for London, stuff like that. That's a very cool one. And if you're more into Navy stuff, the HMS Belfast, which is the big British Navy ship by Tower Bridge, is actually a museum. So you can go in there. Those are my museums for people.
I like the I like that they're all close by, so that you can kind of say, okay, I'll do a museum's afternoon.
South Ken is an afternoon, and you're done. Something. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so if you head over to what, South Kent,
South Kensington,
Kensington,
it's a bit. A
but
bit,
you
bit.
Say South Kent.
Yeah.
If you say South Kensington.
Sorry, South Ken.
Here again.
South Ken is what you say if you live here, right? Yeah. South Kensington.
South Ken. Okay.
South Ken.
I'm not pressing the button in the tube.
Right.
And I'm saying South Ken.
Right.
South Ken. And? Love it. Oh, Holborn.
What?
So where are we talking about Holborn? Somewhere. Is the arcade? Yes, that's it. The Novelty Automation Museum is in Holborn, but it's spelt Holborn. That's another one. That'll catch you.
So no L.
That'll get you.
No L, no R.
Can I say L sometime, or do I just omit L's?
Oh, don't say a T ever. That's another one. Bottle of water, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah,
everyone hates that.
Okay. Okay, good. That's good to know. I'll start to blend in. The next one was like dry pasta.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Eat walking dry pasta. Around with dry pasta in London, not pressing tube
telltale sign.
Door buttons.
However, you do press the button on the overground, okay? Because that's something that I've missed.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Sometimes you press the button. If you can see the sky, press the button.
Yes, that's probably
yeah. Unless you're on the district line and then don't. Yeah, if you can see sky button, that works. That's a.
Okay, look, we're learning here.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's good.
And we have markets in there. Spitalfields or Spillfields?
Spillfields. Spillfields.
Oliver Twist.
Well, it has a T. I don't say teased. So that's like a market with like.
I think most of the markets are always a good shout, right? Like Spillfields. Yeah. Sorry, Spitalfields.
But is that close though? Again,
Spitalfields would be, right? Because that's more.
Yeah. Okay.
East.
That's more east.
Yeah.
Borough is more central. If you've made it to Tooting Market, you've gone too far into the suburbs.
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, that's my market. That's why it's on the list.
The Ken suburbs or
the Kensington is sort of zoned to zones. Maybe that's a whole thing, right?
Ah.
Central London, zone one, zone two, thumbs up, zone three, you're fine. 4, 5, 6, forget about it. It's not London.
Is it stabby not London, or is it not London because
it's just countryside.
Ah, okay. They drive on the other side of the road and
speak French.
Gotcha.
We are so, in zone one with the conference two.
I don't think the conference is zone. I think the conference might be zone two, technically. Because it's further east, right? Like zone one is basically central London.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said it's zone three. Yeah. I live in zone three, right?
Oh, that's why you didn't say that it was stabby, because it's actually your life.
I mean, it used to be a little stabby, but now it's not very stabby, you know?
That's always nice.
A little stabby is good.
A little stabby. It's that balance between coffee shops and like chicken shops, you know?
Right. Very delicate ratio.
Yeah, it was just explained like in Nipissi and Cologne, all the hip bars are slowly being replaced by kitas.
Oof. That's not good at all. That's not good at all.
Bad news.
That's true.
Also, though, it's off license, right? The offy. That's a telltale sign.
Yeah, corner shop, not kiosk.
And not, what's the German word for it?
Offline or what?
Kiosk.
Like kiosk. The little nice shop, like the little local shop you go to is called...
kiosk.
Corner shop.
In Berlin.
No, you guys called them a Späti in Berlin.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Späti in Berlin.
Okay, that's yes, only Berlin.
Right, that's just in Berlin, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Späti is just in Berlin, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, and obviously I have to shout out the local pub. If you've made it to Tooting Beck, you have to go to the Wheat Sheaf. It's the greatest pub in London. Don't go there just for that. But if you're accidentally there.
But that sounds like if I'm accidentally there, I can kind of turn around and visit you at home.
I mean, Ollie, if you've accidentally made it to Tooting Beck, then just come to the house. It would be so weird if you went to Tooting Beck and just had a pint of the Wheat Sheaf and then left.
Yeah, it's zone three. Why would you go all zone the way out three there?
You've done the big trek of the Northern Line and everything. It's not worth it.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about some of... Now, Joe, are you, when you go to conferences, are you one of those who's like... For example, Marian, he's got his whole list. You know, he's like, okay, I'm here for a minute, but I got to go here. I've got these talks I want to go to. Same with Lukasz. He's also into the talks. He always comes back and says, yeah, you know, it was kind of low level. I could, you know, I was like, yeah, no shit. What about you? Are you somebody who...
Obviously, my own talk is in the calendar. Mm-hmm. And other Giant Swarm people's talks are in the calendar. And then I'm very selective on which other talks, if any, I go to, right? Like it will be like, you know, research topics I'm interested in or friends or
yeah,
that just looks wild. So yeah, I think my list, because I wrote it in the show notes, didn't I?
It does, smart. Yeah. You got James, for example, who joined us here.
Friend of the show. Yep. James is speaking at Rejects, and that's, I only looked at the abstract. I haven't spoken with him, but it's some, I think G Research's AI cluster is like 1,000 nodes each, or like 10,000 node bare metal thing that he's doing things with Cilium on. That just sounds cool and interesting. Yeah. That's uh-huh. One. Fred from Polar Signals, and I don't know Jimmy, but he's speaking with him, are talking about like Kubernetes optimization. And Fred knows lots and lots of things about making things fast. So that's also on my list of cool talk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, my wild card, which I just found when I was going through the KubeCon agenda for, I don't know Dennis Martinen. I understand he's a master's student. I don't know where Aalto University is, but he's got to talk about supercomputers and Slurm and virtual kubelets, which I'm fully going to because it sounds awesome. That's it.
Yeah, so many. I just want to know what SuperNet is.
SuperNetes. What a name. What a name. Exactly. That's it. Let's go. That's my will go for fun, curious talk.
Interesting.
And the rest of the time is probably at the booth or meeting people mm-hmm. or hiding, you know, lots of things to do.
Yeah. And so, Oliver, you're going to bring the mic. We had talked about that. You're going to go around. Would you, if you can grab Fred from Polar Signals, he's always good on the mic.
Perfect. I'm fully equipped. Have it with me all the time and can just talk to people. I'll just record any person I talk to. That
we will see you at KubeCon London, April 1st through 4th. Heather, Joe, thank you so very much for joining us. And
always a pleasure.
Dropping your knowledge. You. Ollie, it's always good seeing you. Thank you for bringing the flyers and other things and your orange suit, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm an orange suit.
Oh, you're wearing the orange suit.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, I wear it as many days as I can before it. Nobody goes near me anymore. Even then, the question becomes, would I then actually start wearing it on the third day when nobody goes near me?
Oh, anymore? For because smell. Oh, okay.
Smell. Yeah? I just say, hey, 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 nobody's talking to me.
That's when he becomes dry pasta man. Just riding the tube in a stinky orange suit eating dry penne.
The only thing is I need the orange sneakers then too. But then I kind of need two pairs of sneakers because only having orange sneakers is a bit much.
Yeah.
It's London, man. No one cares. Yeah, you can pretty much do what you want.
Yeah.
It's like just a light Vegas.
Press the button. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm bye-bye. Cutting you all off, signing off.
Bye. Thank you. I can have a drink now.